On our earth, before writing was invented, before the printing press was invented, poetry flourished. That's why we know that poetry is like bread. It should be shared by all, by scholars and by peasants, by all our vast, incredible, extraordinary family of humanity. Well, that was Pablo Neruda. I'm Bob Holman, and this is the Poetry is Bread podcast, where poetry challenges us, makes us think, and with imagination and courage and heart, changes the world. In 2000, I was invited to Asmara, Eritrea, to a conference. Against All Odds, African Languages and Poetry in the 21st Century. It's filled with scholars and poets. All nine languages of Eritrea were on display. Ngugi wa Thiong'o was there, and one day I was almost nodding off over tea, and I heard the sounds of the kora, the 21-stringed harp lyre, the musical instrument of the griots of West Africa. This was how I met Papa Suso, who comes from the Suso-Sissoko griot lineage of Gambia and Mali, and who would become my mentor, my friend, and my collaborator over the years. When I published Sing This One Back to Me for Coffee House Press, the whole middle section are simply translations from the Mandenke, Fulani, and other languages that Papa speaks. I don't speak them. I can get along a little. But he helped me to do the translations. It's what the oral tradition is about. You really don't learn it, because learning is different when you don't have books. What you do is you live it, you experience it, you accrete it. It becomes part of you the way that you really want knowledge to become part of you. And Papa Suso, the great griot, he was an economist when he got the calling. His father, Papa Bunko Suso, was also a griot. Their lineage goes back almost 1,000 years. It's the Susos who invented the kora, or so the story goes, and the story goes on and on. Once I asked Papa, well, come on, you're teaching me a little bit here of Sunjata, the epic story of the first emperor of Mali. How long is it? And he said, oh, Bob, it's long, 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 long. And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, if I'm writing this down and sending it into the New Yorker to get it edited, they're going to come back with that line that all copy editors do, which is, you can't repeat a word. If you want to modify that word, add an adverb. It is very long. But I think if you've been listening to me, you know the difference between what the copy editor says, very long, and Papa's description there of how long it is. So I said to him, well, here I happen to have on my desk the Iliad and the Odyssey, and the Iliad is, in this version, 450 pages, and the Odyssey, 425. Now, how long is Sunjata? And Papa says, 2 days. It's not learning how to be a griot. It's appreciating what the oral tradition actually is. To new songs, poems. Papa had never heard of what a poet was before we started talking. There's a little bit I could teach him from the Western side of things, but so much that I could learn from what goes on in Africa, including the words that are the title of that book. Sing this one back to me. How do you learn something? You listen to it, and then you sing this one back to me. Here's Papa Suso.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. The Sweet Strains of the Kora, as played by Papa Suso, right here in the airy, the poetry place, the pad, the pod, the cast. The cast is all here, and crew, me and you, when you're Papa Suso. And I am Bob Holman, and let's talk. And of course, when you have the great Griot here with you, you must take advantage of that and say, hey, Papa.
Yeah, Papa.
Why don't you do something for us?
Baba, manzatara la baro de baila. Juvalia, jaba sirima. Jaba tironi, jaba kanimuri, diko nimfanyambe. Koli tengala, bibi tengala, bilaro tengala banna. Fulamra jaba sirima, la kulayi.
You like that?
Love this.
What is this one?
I like it.
I think it's the very first
song
that I ever heard you do was Alalaika.
Yeah.
It's maybe the most famous song. What does it mean, Alalaika?
Alalaika, God will sit.
God will...
Will sit.
Will see.
Will sit. Yeah, yeah. God's will, willing.
God willing. Mm-hmm. God will see. God will sit.
Will eat.
Will eat.
Yeah. God. Wills, you know, whatever happens.
God's will.
That's
whatever
God's
will.
Yeah.
God's will. You know, let's see. We translated Alalaika here in this book, Sing This One Back to Me, from Coffee House Press. A whole section of Papa's wonderful songs. First time some of them ever translated into English. Alalaika means it is God's will. This is a story about a king and two of his sons. His name is Fale Kora of Tamba Sansang in the eastern part of the Gambia. Okay. He was king for so long, long a time These were the days when a king would die, you don't vote, no way. It was the oldest son who would take over. So now this king has two sons from two different mothers. Traditionally, these two boys would always have rivalry. This is Fadinha, same father, different mother, rivalry. Does this sound right to you still?
That's right.
This was the translation that we came up with.
Yes, yes.
Which is more than just what you sing. It's kind of like a translation to another culture.
Yes.
Like to English speakers in U.S. and around the world who aren't familiar with the life. Whoops, we're going to stop right there. Should we turn it off or keep going, Sam?
Let's keep the recording. It doesn't matter. We can just...
Okay, so
hello.
Later it says in the book, this is a story from the 16th century.
Certainly.
So does that mean that Ali Laika was created in the 16th century?
Yes, because after all the fights, so a griot who was at the scene at the time composed this song, sing the princess told the winner, mm-hmm. by saying "Alaleake jomake alai menke jonto baila," which means God will sit. Whatever happened to you will happen to you with the will of Allah.
The will of Allah will Allah. Happen to you. Oh,
yeah.
And this is what happened to the two sons.
Exactly.
Which is what it's about.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay.
So so what I'm interested in is, now did Alaleika as a song exist before the 16th century and then the history came and was added to it, or was the melody and the song, who was the griot who was there in the 16th century? Do we know the name of that griot?
My father told me the griot who composed this song, his name Kunkun Kanute.
Kunkun
Kanute.
Kanute. Okay, that's a because good griot name.
Kunkun was at the scene when all these fights took place.
Mm.
So, and then after the winner was appointed as the new king.
Right.
So his name Mamadi Kora. And then Kunkun composed this song by saying "Alaleake jomake, alai menke jonto baila," which means God will sit. People here didn't want you to be the king, but the Almighty Allah approved that you're supposed to be our king.
Oh.
Here are you now, our new king.
I see, actually, now that I'm reading our poem, or your poem in my translation, it's I who am the rightful king, no one spoke, then one of the griots, Kunkun Kanute, stood and talked and played the kora and sang, and here is his poem. Mr. Commissioner, I want you to hear me when this man says is right enough, he was King Fale Kora's oldest son, but oh, Mr. DC, District Commissioner, what a bad man he is. He's greedy. He's a white man. No, that was just later. We added that. Good thing you don't understand Mandinke. Oh, let's just leave it in English. What? This is wonderful translation. It's like it's alive. Mamadi is a bad man. I hear you, said the district commissioner, but I also hear the tradition speaking. I must obey the Gambian traditions. I cannot change them. Wow. So, but the question I have, and we can get to the thrilling conclusion of this poem maybe at some point in this show. We only have 5 hours of tape, so we can't get the whole Sunjata epic. How long would it take to do the whole Sunjata epic?
Sunjata, long, long. It's going to go on and on. Yeah, we can do a little bit of it, but it's not going to be the whole thing, because the whole thing will go for like a day or two, maybe.
Maybe 2 days. What's the longest you've ever done Sunjata? Have you ever done it like over more than a day?
No, I never do it more than an hour.
Who was the last time that someone did Sunjata that really was the whole thing? Did your father do that?
No, but I
Papa
know...
Papa Bunka Soso?
I know two old men, they all passed away now in Mali. They were the expert in the Sunjata epics, more than any other jali you can think of.
Mm. Jelly is another name for
Griot. Griot.
It's the Mandinka word for Griot.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
So these two men.
Jelly Baba Sisoko.
Oh, Jelly Baba Sisoko. That means Suso in you know, it's the same as Suso, Sisoko.
And also Bansumana.
Bansumana.
Sisoko.
Another Sisoko.
From Mali.
All your family.
Yes.
And did you ever hear them do the whole epic?
No, not the whole epic. In fact, Jelly Baba used to have a program on the Radio Mali. At the time, they don't have TV station. So both of them used to have a program on Radio Mali to narrate the story of Sundiata epics. So, and I know a friend who live in Paris, France, and this man used to record them. When I met him at the time, he have about 72 tapes of these two people, 72 tapes of each, narrating the Sundiata epics. I don't know if he still have them. His name is Boubacar Diabaté. He's a Gambian, live in Paris, France. And he was very interested on their work. He used to record them every Sunday. They come on Sundays. Mm. So every Sundays, he would record them. So they will go off like an hour every Sunday. Every Sunday, they will do 1 hour. So he used to record it, but I'm not sure whether he still have them because I didn't see him for more than maybe 18, 19 years now.
Well, we have to find out because that would mean there are 72 hours of recorded Sundiata epic.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would be if you stayed awake all day and all night, that would be 3 whole days.
Something like, maybe
it's only 36 because it's 2.
Yeah.
That would be how many hour day? 8 hour days.
Something
I'm very good at math, as you can see.
Yeah.
I know that the money's supposed to go in the resonator hole.
That's right.
But that's so, Papa. There's so many things already in the air. Let's go back to Alalaika for just a moment. I'm very interested in whether the griot on the scene in the 16th century, Kunkun Kanute, whether he invented the melody of Alalaika, or whether he knew Alalaika but saw in this situation the true story of God's will of Alalaika being played out right there, and added. You know, and added these new words to the old melody. Which way was it?
This is Kunkun's own creation. Okay, because there was no Alalaika before this.
Okay. So from this actual situation.
So it is his own creation. And then it became a very famous piece for all the griots. And about he is main person who create the song and sing at the praises of this man, Mama Dikora.
Now, when it's been passed down from father to son, father to son, father to son, and now to daughter also, do people add to it when you're singing it? I know you're telling the story because I can hear in the way you sing. This is the special griot way, is that you can hear the talking. It's not just singing like in this country when we have a melody and have to stick to the melody and people just tell the melody, sing the melody. Here you can hear that you're talking to us and telling us the story through the music. And I know you change it according to, not change it, but that you do it differently according to who's in the audience. Like right now, me and Sam are here, that's it. And of course, all New York out the window. But do you ever have something that's going on right now that you put in the song that refers to this kind of God's will, Alalaika? Like, I don't know what would be God's will right now. I don't know.
Well, you know, a lot of style was added to the piece now. Because they say, when Kung Kung first started playing it, he played like this one. But after, and then everybody learned this one, learned and fell in love with this piece. It was like, okay, if anybody comes here and you want to add new idea to it, is there?
So the music itself has evolved.
Exactly, and then another person change it and then go like that. People keep changing the style.
So do you know who made these changes? Do you know each griot who made those changes or when they were made? Does that stay with the story of the melody, just the melody?
I know, well, like this one. My father told me he and one of his age group that they all learned how to play the choir together, they added this style to it.
That's just beautiful. Yeah. I always think when I hear you play the kora, Papa, how...
Yeah, there are also another person who play it like that.
Whoa. So you learned all these different styles by hearing other griots play them.
Because I'm a master of the kora.
Really? Thank you for telling me.
Thank you.
Everybody knows Papa's the master of the kora. Looking back to see how the tea is doing. That's what the master of the kora does. He knows when the tea is ready also. Wow. Oh, Papa. Well, Papa, it's just as many questions come up as there are no answers. But Oh, first off, I must say, just in general, how when the kora plays, it always sounds to me like someone is walking. You know, the kora is like sound walking, and the way that the griots go from village to village. And do you play when you are walking from village to village, or is that just my fantasy?
No, at the time you just.
I remember when you and I walked down the street in the Bronx when I was learning to play the kora. We were playing outside.
Exactly.
We played walking down the street.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Bronx there.
Yeah, we do
that. The Grand Concourse, my goodness.
Of course, yeah.
People didn't know what to think of it.
Yeah.
But do you walk when you go from town to town, from village to village? Do you play the kora, or is that my fantasy?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
You're practicing while you walk.
Do that. But because it's sometimes, if walking from one village to the other village, sometimes people will accompany you. Those who love the kora most will accompany you because they always want to hear you playing. So for in this situation, you just play for them. Mm. Yeah, because they're trying to honor you.
Do you ever, in Alalaika specifically, I know there are some songs that you've done where we've contemporized when we brought it up to, like, the one where we talk about the Second World War. Which one is that? Where we talk about how the slaves were freed, except in Mauritania. Maybe that was the song for Haiti that we did. Well, that one we did. Remember when we did Mocoiro?
Huh?
Mocoiro?
Mocoiro.
Mocoiro for Haiti. That was a song about Haiti that we put Haiti in. But I don't see the one where we talked about Alaika. Well, in Cairo, that was it.
In Cairo,
you talk about slavery ending in West Africa and Senegambia in 1945.
Right.
So that was an update, yeah. Right? That was adding to the song. Do you ever add to Alaika? Does anyone do that, or is it really set for that historic time?
Well, the only addition to the Alaika, that's what I've just explained to you.
I hear the melody, but I mean the words. I'm talking about the words. What about the words? Does it matter? What do you think about the words, you know?
Like I always said, it's a very famous piece that people love, okay? But they will still continue singing it in the same way, like Alale Ake Jomake, Alale Menke Jonte Obaila. Okay, it could sing a praises to some famous people with the song, along the song, comparing them and to these people that the song was created for.
I see.
You can do that, but it still be for these people.
Yeah. So I get that. Okay, so that's where the praise comes in,
right.
And sometimes griots are called praise singers, but that just scratches the surface of it. But so because I'm this stupid guy who didn't grow up in this tradition, though I do believe in the oral tradition. I'm part of it. I believe, whatever. I have that much, whatever it is, chutzpah.
Uh-huh.
Is there ever a situation that gets mentioned, not just a praise, but a situation that is reminiscent, that reminds you of the way God's will picked the younger son to be the king, And do you ever bring up a situation? Like, I know that in Kula Faso, we talk about Jojo Digiri.
Jola Jigere.
Jekere Bayou.
Yes.
Yes, who was a recent businessman. So he gets added to the story.
Right.
Is there ever in Alaika, the classic, does anyone ever say, this situation now where we pass over who's supposed to be president, like Trump, and get to somebody else?
Well, the Jola Jigere and Alaika, they're very close.
Really?
Because they all happen in the same area.
Oh.
Yeah. So they happen in the same area. So in fact, the villages were not all that far from one another. And so they're very close.
Papa, now you really have me, because I was just thinking, two-dimensional, just time and story, and now you bring in place. As if that's, now you've really confused me again. Like yesterday I had a cab ride with a Kamara from Mali.
Okay.
And we were talking about the different griots.
Okay.
Because Kamara is a griot name, he knows all about it.
Kewule Kamara?
It was not Kewule.
Okay.
He's not a cab driver.
Okay.
He's a Fina from Sierra Leone.
Okay.
But, is Kamara a griot name in Mali? Maybe I have that wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't play music, but they only chant.
Chant.
Right. Yeah, they only chant.
Okay.
And sing praises.
Okay.
So yeah, by chanting. But they don't have a musical instrument to use to accompany them.
Okay. So That's why Kaule in Sierra Leone calls itself a Fina.
Fina.
Do you have that word also in Bambara or in Mandinka?
Yeah, Mandinka, Bambara, they were all called them Fina.
Really?
Yes.
Just like Griot. Never heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, he says, we were talking about Tumani.
Okay.
And Balake, of course.
Okay.
That's Balake Sissoko, Papa's cousin. He married Balake's sister. That's another story. And he was saying that these, because they're so good on the kora, that there is some secret that they have.
Well, a lot of people been saying that Tumani's father has a lot of secrets. I met him many times. We never talk about it. But people have been accusing him that he has something. He has what you call voodoos here.
Mm.
Yeah, so, but I never talked to him about it, even though I met him many, many, many times, but I never talked to him about it. Yeah, and so to Tumani too, which I want to believe is true, because we always get everything from our parents. So if he has something, that means he must pass it on to him before he go. Mm. Yeah.
So, Alalaika was such an important song for you. Learned from your father when you were a little boy.
Exactly, when I was 5 years old. Started to learn from him when I was 5 years old. Yep.
But the kora is such a big instrument. How did you even hold it?
Well, the kora came to us like this.
Oh, you mean you had a baby kora?
I do have baby koras. It goes by sizes, large, medium, and small.
Very small for five-year-olds.
The baby kora, you have one here, but it also sounds beautiful.
Ah. And the kora is made with the calabash.
It's made with the calabash, cowhide, rosewoods. And these are the materials we put together to build the kora. Of course, the strings, this is nylon, which is today's strings. But the original string was made out of an antelope skin.
Antelope skin.
Yes.
And the rings that tie the strings for those antelope skin also?
Yeah, this is cow skin.
Now that's cow skin.
Cow skin, braided on the
sticks.
And to be able to hang the strings on it tight, that will allow you to move them up and down to get the instrument tuned.
Right. It's what is called a pre-peg technology. Although some koras now do have pegs.
Right.
Do you have any feeling about adding pegs to a kora?
It sounds beautiful, though, and like things that, change every generation.
Mm.
Okay, it sounds beautiful for my work. It's with the classroom mostly, and in the classroom, most students prefer the traditional rings than the peg.
And why is that?
Well, I guess they want to know the origins.
It's the authentic thing. It's the actual instrument. Yeah.
While
the string has changed from antelope string to nylon, to fishing string.
Fishing strings, yes.
Yeah. You still use the ancient way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which is the name of that album? Ancient Strings is the name of the first kora album that was popular.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, by Tumani.
By Tumani, Tumani's father.
Yeah, father, yeah.
And what was Balake's father's name?
Jelimadi.
Jelimadi.
Yeah.
Jelimadi Sissoko.
Jelimadi, that's my first cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jelimadi, yeah. It's my first cousin.
Yeah, everybody's related. As a matter of fact, I understand that it was Asuso who actually first found the kora.
Yes. His name, Koriya Musa.
Koriya Musa.
Suso.
Suso. And you want to tell us that story?
Well, he got the quora from the jinns.
From the jinns?
Yes.
Spirits.
Spirit. According to what he told us, they used to have a lot of voodoos. You know? Okay. Until one day he ran into a jinn woman. And when they met, he fell in love with this woman. And he talked to the woman about relationship. The woman said, look, we are different from you. We are jinns and we are human beings. So it's two different things. I don't think it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But why he approached the woman is because he saw the quora was sitting. I was interested to learn or to know about the quora, and then maybe possible to learn from them. Okay, the woman took him to her father and tell the father that I just met this man, but he was very, very interested in me. What do you say? The father said, no, we're jinns and they're human beings. We're two different things, you know? But he could keep pushing it, pushing, because he's interested to know about the quora and also possible to learn from them. So he comes every day. He comes every day until, well, they were like, I think he's a good man. Okay. So finally, the father told him, this is our traditional music. That's what the father told him. This is our traditional music. Okay. Traditionally, I have to pass this on to my son because it is not a female instrument. But for me to teach you how to play this instrument, that means you have to be part of the family. Okay. What do you mean, part of the family? That means, well, even though I'm against my daughter marrying a human being like you, but because I don't have the son to pass this on to, so I will allow my daughter to marry you because I know she also loves you. So this is how the story came about.
Mm.
All right, because they lay a condition. They ask him, do you marry in your society? Yes. Because he didn't want to lie. They say, well, I don't think it's going to be possible because in your society or in your culture, you are allowed to have many wives. But we don't. We only one. All right? But then, because this man is still interested to get this one, he accept their condition by telling them, I'm going to get rid of my wives and then keep this only this one. Really?
Hmm.
Yes. I promise. Okay? Then they agreed to do it. So they did the marriage and tell the man, you have to leave your other wives. He said, okay. But you know, he already got children by these two other women. So he cannot just come and tell them, so look, go. So one day they got angry. The father said to the daughter, look, let's kill this man because he didn't fulfill his promise. But the woman already in love with this man now. He said, Dad, don't kill this man. If you kill him, that means I'm not going to have a husband. Okay. The father said, okay. But then we have to take him away from those wives. So they took him away. This is how we came to the Gambia. From Manding.
Uh-huh.
The story took place in Manding. Okay. So, but this is how we migrated from Manding to Gambia, because they took our ancestors, our great grandfather, away from his family. Now his sons, three of them, one day they were they get confused and say, "Well, our father disappeared. You know, let's go look for him." So they travel from Manding through Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, Guinea-Bissau, and then to Gambia, looking for this man. Finally found him in the Gambia. This is how we came to the Gambia. Okay,
okay, we're taking a little, I know this is a very exciting moment, but we're taking a break here for tea. As Papa goes to check how the third tea, rarely do we make it to the third tea, but today we are. The first tea, what's the first tea called, Papa?
Lawal.
Mm. What does that mean?
Lawal, that means strong, very
strong. Very strong.
Very strong.
It's the strongest tea. And what's the second tea called?
Second tea. Adiata,
to enjoy. It's a mellower tea. Adiata. And what's the third one called?
The third one, relaxation.
Say it one more time.
Relaxation.
Relaxation. But it's also called, but what's the Manding word?
Relaxation,
okay. I always thought the third one was like the lover's tea. You told me that. So Papa, does this mean that you are the result of the union of a human and a djinn?
Yeah. In the West African society.
And is that why the griots have so much prejudice against them from the other castes?
Yep. That's what we were told. Because they took our great grandfather away from his family so that he cannot see them anymore.
Now
you only have king and the deputy king now.
Oh, that's right.
Bob Holman the king.
You're right.
Charles Kanalupo the deputy king.
Oh my goodness, that's all you got left. And of course,
Tom Haley is kicked out.
I think we should talk about that. If it weren't for Charles Cantalupo and Tom Hale, we would never have met. Or maybe we would have met. But do you remember when we met, people come up to me, they always say, "How did you meet?" And what should I tell them?
First Tom Hale, and then Charles Cantalupo.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in Eritrea.
In Eritrea.
We met in Eritrea. My choral was left behind. So the first day, I suppose, of Papa, I didn't perform because the choral was not there. But the next day, the choral arrived. So I went and picked the choral. So when I came up, tuned the choral, then you came and said, "Oh, who is this? Who is this? Who is this?" Then Tom Hale came and said, "You didn't know this man? No. You all live in the same city. You didn't know this man? No. This is why we pick it up for him." Then Charles Cantalupo came again and said, "Are you kidding? You didn't know each other? No." So there, two of them are. But first was Tom Hale.
Well, yeah. You know, I would never have been at the Against All Odds African Language and Literature in the 21st Century Conference in Asmara, Eritrea, if it weren't for the fact that Charles Cantalupo set up the gathering of 400 people, including Ngugi and everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was knowing him, so I got an invitation to go.
Yeah.
And then Of course, yes, Tom Hale was just publishing his brand new book.
Griots and Griots.
Griots and Griots.
Yeah.
A lot of which was spoken.
You know, Tom, Idris Marquardt, Charles.
Yeah. There's the book.
Yeah, that's the one. So they invited me to go to Morocco. I was in Gambia.
Ah.
Idris Marquardt called. He didn't get hold of me. He sent me email. Well, I replied him. I said, I'm in Gambia, but I'm coming back next week. The very day that I'm supposed to arrive here, that's the very day that they're supposed to leave to go.
Oh.
But he went to the embassy, Moroccan embassy, gave them all of my information and everything, and purchased the ticket and said, you arrive in today, we leave in today.
What?
So, but come tomorrow. By all means, I want you to be part of this conference. So when I arrived, next day in the morning, I went to Moroccan embassy. They look at my passport. Oh, yeah. Right there, they put visa stamp. Okay? Then in the evening, it was an evening flight. I arrived at the airport. My flight was supposed to be 5 o'clock. They tell me that he cannot go because he have to make transit in Amsterdam.
Oh, that's the way you get from one place to another in Africa is either go to Amsterdam or Hamburg or Frankfurt.
You go to Amsterdam, change plane from there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Go to Casablanca.
Yeah.
And then from Casablanca, you're going to take a small plane to go to Fez.
Mm.
This is where the conference is going to take place. I went to the airport, they told me that you cannot go because you don't have transit visa for Holland, Amsterdam.
Oh, crazy.
Right there, I emailed Idris Marquardt. He was almost going crazy.
Mm.
He said, okay, I can change your ticket. You go to Amsterdam embassy tomorrow morning, get a visa, transit visa. It's not difficult like the other visas. Then the next day I went to the embassy, they look at the passport, they also put visa. Then
I like that story.
Yeah.
But there we were in Eritrea, that was the year 2000. January 2000. Of 2000. How can you forget that? January of 2000.
Yeah, 2000, yeah.
And that was where I started to hear the griot for the first time. And my life was changed forever.
Yeah. That conference brought a lot of important people together.
Very, very much
important people together.
And Bierstecker was there.
Yeah.
Wonderful linguist. Really got to start to hang out with the linguists.
The woman from Morocco, Sadawi.
She was from Egypt, wasn't she?
Egypt. Said,
Yes. Sadawi. Yes.
And she's still here teaching.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Very
she's
old, but
such
she's still working.
Marvelous. Force of true force. Yes.
Some people.
Yeah, and then we met that guy from Somalia. We were able to get him here. Anyway, let's do how Cora was born.
That's all I like.
That's it. It's all I like. This is the first song we ever did together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we want.
Is it recording? I hope it's recording. Everything we say.
Okay. Yeah. I think. All right. I thought we play it here, right?
You can do what to talk or play whatever you want to do.
We talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it. What do you want to say about it? What should we say?
Well, we talk. We said a lot about it. You've been asking questions. So I don't know if you want to repeat it. Okay.
No, but we don't need to repeat that part. But if you want to say anything new, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What is, when I first told you I was a poet,
and
I told you you were a poet,
you
told me, nobody's ever called me a poet before.
Yes.
and that's because you sing and people usually think, well, if you sing, you're a singer.
Yes, you usually refer to us as a singer. Of course, somebody called me a poet before, Roderick Knight at Oberlin College.
Mm, yeah,
he told me that you are a poet. He said, griot is a poet, is a historian, poet, counselor, and also entertainer.
counselor and entertainer.
Entertainer.
I mean, there's a way in which you're a lawyer almost, you know? You know where the boundary lines are. You're also a keeper of the genealogy.
A genealogist. Yeah.
And Tom Hale talks about all these things.
All these things.
In the book. An exhorter, he also says.
Exhorter,
somebody
yes.
who pushes, says, okay, we have to go to battle now.
Yeah, let's go. Well, and that is 100% true. It used to be that way. But they never shoot any griot for accompanying or exhorting people to the war.
And why is that?
Because they want to keep the history. They are the historians. If you kill them, that means the history will die. We're not going to know where we are, where we are going to, whatever.
So it is.
And they're always next to the kings.
It's a real job.
Yes.
And you get paid for it.
Yeah.
And but the poet in this country is looked on not as something, a real job. It's looked as something that nobody really knows what you do. What are you going to do with these things called poems? They don't seem to fit into the everyday life. But the griot fits into the everyday life. How does the griot fit into everyday life?
It may not like this, but I'll have to say it.
Oh, dear.
I met a woman in this country who told me that don't work with the poets. I said, why? He said, if people see you working with the poets, you're not going to get a job in this country because poets speak against the system.
What?
So, and the government don't want to see these people. So if you work with them, they're going to think that you're all the same. So I told this woman, yes, I'm going to work with the poets because it's the same thing. We do the same thing. We are poets too, even though they don't call us poets, but we are. Because in my society, the griot can pick up the instrument and go to you and say, well, I came to pay you a visit today. Okay, sit down and play, sing praises to you, but that means something. It means you give the griot something. This is what they make the livelihood from. But if you don't do that, even if you are a king, they will go out and sing and against you through their singing, and you cannot do nothing to them because he's supposed to give them something and he didn't do it. Okay.
So, it's, you're giving them something with the song, or the poem, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And then they have to give you something.
It's
part of the economy, part of life.
Exactly. So, that's why I told the woman, look, I'm going to work with poets. And I don't think I even met you at that time.
Ooh.
No, I didn't meet you at the time.
Yeah.
Then, but after we met, that, yeah, you and I, you took me around, wherever poetry is going to be, you always take me. You're the one who opened my ear or my eyes into poetry more than before.
Oh, Papa.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the kind of poetry that I've been working with so much is the performance of it, the poetry readings, is the talking, the poem, having it come alive with the poet there. Sometimes it's on television or film, sometimes it's just sometimes it's on the radio or a podcast, sometimes it's just live performance. But, you know, it's about the language and how it sounds, and that's what the griot does.
Yeah.
The griot always communicates, uses the words, the language. You know, when you sing, people always tell me they don't know exactly what you're saying, but whatever it is, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You're telling them how to do it. And then we have the translations in the book, so people can read the translations.
Right.
Yeah, but Alalaika, which is the first we ever did piece, you know, we tried to figure out a way to make a translation.
Okay.
And here's how I remember you saying, look, I'm going to play and sing. You write down the words.
Right.
And I wrote down words that you had already told me because it sounded to me like you were in front of me like your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who was given the kora. You were inventing the kora in front of me with this alalaika.
Yeah.
So that's how I wrote how Korra was born, and they've always been married. Then, like the jinn and the human, is these words with that song, and then you sing Alalaika in it too.
Yeah. So you want us to repeat Alalaika?
Let's just do the song. Yeah. And I'll do how Korra was born.
Okay. Do the cover.
This story begins long, 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 long ago. So long ago that it was a place and not a time. There was a man, he was so alone. The only person he could talk to was Africa. Now, luckily, there was a tree nearby, and even more luckily, behind that tree, that's where his partner was hiding. And all the sun and all the water were condensed into a single tiny block, which the man planted in the sandy soil. And he blew on that spot. And each time he blew, he thought he heard something. What he was hearing was, of course, his partner singing.
Java zero ni java kalmuri diko ni mfanyabe.
Well, the man didn't even know what singing was, because he could only talk, he couldn't sing yet. So he blew and he listened. And he blew and he listened. Blue, listen, blue, listen.
Kwaruguna magide ni jula walibani.
Blue, listen, blue, listen, blue, listen.
Sanuguna magide. Kumfiribana ngalani tabusilabana.
And the plant pushed out, dark green, and began to twist and grow, a vine reaching for the breath and stretching towards the song, because it was made out of the sun and the rain. Do you remember that part? Nomo. So at the end of the vine, that was the calabash. And the tree, it wasn't a tree anymore. It became the neck and the handles. And that's when the man's partner, Saba Kadane, came out into the open. But that's another story. And the breath and the singing and the vine. Well, there are 21 strings. What do you think?
And
now you say, what about the bridge and the cowhide?
And
the rings that tie the strings to the neck so that you can tune the kora. Hey, what about the thumbtacks? The thumbtacks hold the cowhide taut over the calabash. And we got that resonator hole. That's where the money can go. That's where the sound comes from. Well, you go right on talking about all that. I'm playing the kora now. And you know, next time, I'll tell you about the cow. Yes, okay. The crowds are going crazy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You want to do Hammer of Justice? That's okay. The one with Durga and the
Duga
and Duga and the Kalipa. Kalifasena and after Duga. Hammer of Justice. Justice is what love looks like in public, says Cornel West. Awake and listen, now hear this. I was born in Texas, grew up in Kentucky, high school in Hawaii, never graduated in Utah, moved to New York, never left in California. My children's names are Dakota, for real, North and South, Carolina, Louisiana, Alabama, Alaska, Song Kong, Hassan. I was trained to kill by the poets and ordered to steal people's languages and last names till I became Citizen Four. They call me Garner Brown. It's not global warming that makes me say hashtag I can't breathe. It's the way the 14th line of the sonnet closes in. Death by one's own hand. To state the union is to make the poem that heals. I don't know, Papa. That's a sonnet that opens that poem.
This is Duga.
Duga. Duga, and then you'll know it goes into Kalifasena halfway through. Uh-huh.
de kuna kebo minko ro kuma de foni nyala kuma de kuna kebo minko ro kuma de foni nyala baba kuma de kuna kebo minko ro kuma de fora kebo nyala.
The Hammer of Justice. Papa Suso and I were sitting in a coffee shop drinking some of Papa's famous Chinese tea. Justice was with us, having a hard time of it, drinking with her blindfold on. You'd think after all this time, Papa was saying, you'd be used to it. Sugar's at 4 o'clock. It's not easy, said Justice, treating all people equally, dripping tea down her long white robes. Oh, Justice, bring down your hammer. Break the system of patrimony. Use your gavel to unravel the inequity. Bring down your hammer for liberty. Normal. Justice was in a funk. She had an idea, but the idea was just an idea. It was clear that the scales were weighted to the males. It was clear that the white folks had the bulk of the dough. So she started in on Ferguson, people searching for an answer in a system where you always lose. And then she talked about Selma's Bloody Sunday. Papa, she said, I think I know what it is. What is it? Asked Papa. It's reparations, said she. Reparations. Oh, Justice, bring down your hammer. Break the system of inequality. Use your scales to derail hypocrisy. Give the country back the currency of equity.
Yamadie.
Yeah, we love the Constitution. But the white men who wrote it, they all owned slaves. Yes, we declare our independence, but women had to fight for the right to vote. So let's rewind the time machine of history. Start with all humans getting human rights, reparations through education. Payback time in the USA. Take your blindfold off, Justice. It's time for you to see. Reparations for the generations, generations, descendants of slaves. Because the slaves built the country, but they never got paid. Yeah, the slaves built the country, but they never got paid.
Okay.
Which
one is next?
Next one is Maki, Bakatato. Is that the same thing, I hope? You'll like this one better. It's an old man, a cattle breeder, who keeps goats and sheep. He loved doing that. It's called Bakatato, the goat of all calamity.
jai so la elo le pane na ma la fembie.
Now it happened that he had a lot of goats, but among the male goats he had one that was a troublemaker. In fact, the whole village knew about this, about the troublemaking goat in his herd, making trouble all the time, and so he got the nickname, the Goat of All Calamity.
So yo, jime la na falunya. Zugalia jime janga wako. Karijadu ne mara jada jampa jangi barifo baga katele manje bele kamo bakili amuza ne noya amuza ne wanya amuza.
So one day Maki looked at the goats and he thought, should I keep this goat? Not only is he a troublemaker, but now everybody in the village knows he's a troublemaker. I'll take it to a market. And so he did just that. He passed a man. What you got there? Well, I'm selling this goat. I'll buy him then. And as the man was walking away, Maki said, hold on, Bakatato. Let me tell you about this goat. And the man says, well, and he here, then he changed his mind, and Maki continues on, and I wonder what comes next.
Jamunda bulu gulu na jamunda jiro la mume ke kawe ne ke bari mamuro pura jiro ne bambori kirendi kumani ke ni mume ni toya maga.
So he continues on and he comes to another man and the other man says, how much is this blah, 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 and, but that's not so much, Maki tells him, and then the same thing happens, he tells him the truth, he says, no, sorry, I can't buy, and then the third man comes up, he goes, blah, 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 I would like to, and then blah, 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 and it's the same, same, and I'll buy it, says the third man, but without question, if I slaughter the goat, will the calamity still stay once I slaughter the goat? And Maki says, look, whatever you want to do is okay, but I have no way of telling the future. Bakatato, the goat of all calamity. So the old man buys the goat, takes it to the back of his house, slaughters the goat, takes the knife, rests the knife on top of the goat, goes out to find someone to help him skin the goat. Now, there were two wives in the house, and each had presented the man with a boy. The son of wife number one had seen him slaughter the goat and was looking at the goat, and then the number two son comes back to the backyard and he says to his brother, same father, different mother, what you doing there? Well, number one said, Dad said that there was a goat here and he slaughtered it. Number two, how did he slaughter it? Number one, you want to know? Number two, yeah. Number one, okay, I'll show you. Lie down. So number two lies down and number one son kills him, slaughters him like a goat. Now you know how our father slaughtered his goat.
Henora, Yurara, Kumani Kenya Mumani, Donya Manga Yari Mandi, Musa Mumma, Manamani, Keba Bana, like a Baji Dolphins, like a Kubeka, or a Dissa Malik of Fortuna, Barigo.
Now number two, mother walks by, sees the murder. What's going on here? Why? Why do you slaughter my son, your brother? Well, Dad slaughtered the goat and asked me to help him skin it. And while I was sitting here waiting to help, your son came out and asked what happened. How did it happen? Well, I told him, Father slaughtered the goat. And if you want to know how, lie down and I'll show you. Now the number two mother gets very angry and she picks up a stick, a big, big stick, and then she starts to make silent noise that grows into rage. Then she picks up a bigger stick, runs at son number one, hits him hard and he falls down and he was dead too. Now, Maki's younger brother comes out. He finds Maki. Where have you been? Asks his brother. Just finding people to help me skin the goat. Oh, you haven't heard? You don't know? No, I don't. Well, come with me. And they went to Maki's backyard when they saw son number two slaughtered and son number one slaughtered as well. Your home is gone, said the man. My home is gone, said the man. That goat is still the goat of all calamity. I'll take the carcass and throw it in the river. So now Maki lifts the goat and walks towards the river. In front of him is an old well covered with grass. Too bad Maki didn't know about this well. He would have walked around it. Instead, he himself is gone, goat and all. His brother tells people, look, if they say that this is no good, stay away. Do not try to outsmart evil. Stay away. Stay away. And that's the end of this sad story. Bakutato, the goat of all calamity.
Yeah, goat. Yeah, I love this.
What do you think of that story?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You like the translation we did?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Maybe do one more.
Okay.
From Jiba Kantaba. Is that the same tuning?
Kaira. Kaira is good. Kaira.
Kaira? You want to do Kaira?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do Kaira. That's a good one to end on. Kaira, usually we do, sometimes we do it as the last piece in a concert. We often do it as the last piece in a concert because it gets people to dance. So people who are listening, people who are listening to the podcast should all get up and dance now.
Yeah, that's kind of kung kung.
Which one you want to do, Papa?
Let's do kung kung ba. We're dancing something.
Kaira?
Juba
Kantaba? Or you want to do a little Sunjata? Anything you want. Or all of them. I don't know.
Kunkuba would be better.
So. Kumbija Kantaba. That one?
Kunkuba.
Kankuba?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have Kankuba. I have Tara. Do you want to just do this one yourself? Do I have that translated? Is it the one about the guy with bad luck? Is it that one?
I do. I think this, if you talk about dancing, this will be more.
Well, tell us what it's about.
Kunkuba? Son of celebration.
Well, I have Kulifaso. Celebration for the Feast of Feasts. I call it Kulifaso. Is not Kulifaso?
Kulifaso, okay. Well,
or Kankuba.
Kunkuba. Kunkuba, I think it's there.
I don't think I have it.
Yeah, you have it.
It's not in the book. Let me see if it's here. Kankuba. Maybe it's in your book from from... Song for two chorus, Manjugalong, Solo Le, Tara, Kumbiju Kantaba, Loving Father Song, Jelia.
Okay, let me do it by myself.
You do it by yourself.
Yeah.
You do this one. Okay. And we'll all dance.
Yeah. Kongova ala le jonne ala jonye kongova Kongova le ala le jonku ala jonye kongova Mansa mansa besi la tereke dunia Kambia parasida jawara nana kambia de yata la de manta Honey, but I mean, see if I do good, yeah, more Monday, Joe. Honey, but I say if I do good, yeah, more Monday, Joe. Give me for a day, got a for a day, continue for. Nyakuma la tu babu ma babu holman. Amerika mako mandi mani mako sarama salama leka. Adala mana mindoge ukuma diara la. Gambia kumewa diara babu holman la.
I'm on my way back, don't worry.
Wada mana Senegal ke mari kumewa diara la. America mo mana mani mo wasara mani urani yele Kongo ba ala le jonde ala jaye Kongo ba
I'm Bob Holman, and thank you for listening to Poetry is Bread. Subscribe to our podcast to get notifications of new episodes, or check us out at BoweryPoetry.com. This podcast is co-produced by Ram Devanini and Flavia Roja with Retaplex. Artwork by Fabian Ceruleo. This podcast series is funded by National Endowment for the Arts, New York State Council on the Arts, Governor of New York State, and the New York State Legislature. Keep poeting.